Disclaimer. The views and opinions you hear expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. But you already knew that, didn't you? Enjoy the show. Welcome to Ancast. I'm Zach Birchie. It's just me and Justin today. How's it going, Justin?
I'm good. Hey, everyone.
You've been watching anything lately? How's it been?
I have been, because, you know, I have that new column that is starting next week.
Tuesday.
I already wrote two of them, but, you know, I'm trying to stockpile. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm just, like, spelunking the nether regions of my collection, just, you know, seeing what to watch. And I got to the early 90s. And holy crap, are there a bunch of really, really terrible mecha shows.
Yeah, that was kind of the era for those, I think.
You know, as much as we complain about, you know, how shitty harem comedies these days just kind of pull their, fill a hat with a bunch of worn genre tropes and just pull and connect. Mm-hmm. Holy crap, that is about 80% of what Japan made in the early 90s. And, you know, all the stuff that I'm pulling now is stuff that, you know, was adorning tape shelves back then. And for some reason, something in my head just went, stay away, stay far away. And so, now I am actually watching them, and that voice in my head was completely right.
What are some titles? Because, like, you know, off the top of my head, I can't really think of any, but I know there are millions of them.
Well, the one I'm suffering through right now is Genesis Survivor Gaiarth.
Right, okay. Yeah, you mentioned
Survivor spelled with an E-R.
Of course.
Yeah. I mean, it's not aggressively bad. It's just thoroughly mediocre, stringing together of tropes that does nothing special and is kind of sloppily made.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah, I'm having a blast. I mean, it'll be fun to actually sit down and write it and, like, kind of, because, you know, I mean, writing an article or a review on this stuff when it was fresh and when people were actually excited about those genre tropes, mm-hmm, would have been fairly painful.
Right.
Writing about them years with years of retrospect and being able to go, wow, people really got worked up over this crap, didn't they? That's actually kind of interesting, because you kind of get to pick apart why people responded to it.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, like, if that was sort of what was making money in the early 90s, you know, the parallels to just, you know, now what they make is moe and harem stuff, because that's what makes money, and there's a lot of it, and most of it's kind of bad. Like, that's kind of true across all mediums, though. Like,
it is.
You know, I mean,
but, you know, you look back at the early 90s, and it's all too easy to whip out the nostalgia goggles.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, it's like, oh, things used to be better. Nah, not really.
No, you know, it reminds me of, you know, in film school, in the film history class, the film professor would go, you know, it's easy to look back in the 40s and say, you know, that was the heyday. I'm going to show you what people really watched back then.
Oh,
and
God.
You watched this awful, campy musical that was, you know, basically a more or less, you know, stage show that took place on a boat. And, you know, it stars Bing Crosby and whoever else. And you just want to put a gun in your mouth. That's kind of the equivalent.
Nice. Yeah. Well, interesting. Sounds like a fun time to go back and rediscover. rightfully forgotten.
Sometimes when you go spelunking, you end up neck deep in a pile of guano.
Yeah, there you go. So, I mean, I would imagine that's most of the anime you've been consuming is just stuff for pile of shame.
Yeah. I mean, and there's so much to go through. I'm feeling a little kid in a candy store, but, like, every other piece of candy is poop flavored.
Excellent. Anything else? You seen any movies lately?
Not a lot. We're ticking down to the Oscars.
Yeah.
And I've seen absolutely nothing in the past. Actually, I take that back. I saw Amour.
Oh, yeah. I have not seen that yet.
Oscar bait.
Right.
Very, very hard to watch.
Well, it's just French people dying, right?
French old people dying.
Right, yeah.
You know, dying of, you know, old people things. And it's, you know, long, like, you know, 5-minute cuts, and it's very cinema verite, and either you like that sort of thing or you don't. I like it if it gives you enough to think about. This kind of does, but it's like absolute minimum for me. And the acting is phenomenal, but it is so, so, so not fun to watch. Holy cow.
Yeah, well, you know, look at a synopsis and you can sort of determine that, oh, this isn't going to be... it's not going to be a fun time at the movies, you know?
Well, I mean, talk about narrow casting to the Oscar voters. I mean, old people dying.
I have to wonder if that's the joke, because it's Michael... How do you pronounce his last name?
Haneke.
Haneke. And he's kind of a prankster.
He is.
His movies like to fuck with you, and I was actually a little surprised to hear that this movie's fairly straightforward. Like, there's no super controversy in it and no social commentary in it. Maybe there is. I don't know. But
if that is the case, I am extremely impressed, because it is so solemn and earnest and sad that if he really did make that with his tongue in his cheek, my hat's off to him.
I mean, it would be
more meta than I'm capable of thinking.
It would be fairly glorious if the entire point was the blue-haired Academy voters will go nuts for this, and he specifically made a movie for them. That would be great. I obviously, this is all just pure speculation, but, you know, I wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah. I mean, and they're actors, too, and they're all... So it's a very acty movie.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, it is... exactly for that demographic, even more than Lincoln.
Yeah, wow. Lincoln was way less of super mega Oscar bait than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be straightforward up and down biopic, and no, it's just about the passing of the 13th Amendment, and that's it. Which is really interesting, and it's very well done, very well made, but it feels like, hey, they made this to win Oscars. Right. And they probably will. Yes. Although, I guess the front runner right now is Argo, and I gotta say, I liked Argo, but I walked out of it going, that was okay. That was nice.
You know? Yeah, it seems like an Oscar winner from 1974.
Yeah, totally. And if it wins Best Picture, then fine, but, I mean, well, you know, it's not like...
It's the Oscars. The Oscars never pick the really, really, really great thing.
Yeah, no, I'm fully aware of that. This is a hobby of mine, is the Oscars. I know.
It has to be repeated every time, though.
Yeah, it totally does. They never pick the best movie, at least. They never pick my favorite, that's for sure, but I don't expect them to. Yeah. But Argo seems like the safest, like, kind of weakest choice, and that Whisper campaign against Zero Dark Thirty worked real, real well.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that Kwangjini Wallace wins for Best Actress.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen, but, you know.
I don't either, but she is so good in that movie. Yeah. So good.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. But there's, you know, people saying, like, oh, well, she's just a kid. There's no way she could be. It's not really acting. And it's like, oh, fuck you guys.
No. You watch the behind the scenes on that. It is clearly acting. Like, she even does the, you know, wipe over the face thing to get into character.
Oh, totally. But this is the season where if there's a front runner, there's going to be a Whisper campaign to try and bring it down in favor of something else. Like, right. All that Zero Dark Thirty is pro-torture stuff, which that's not true. Like, did you see that movie?
No, it's on my list of things I really should see really, really soon, but haven't gotten to yet.
Yeah, I liked it okay. I mean, I didn't connect that much with The Hurt Locker either. I think Kathryn Bigelow is a little just too distanced from her subjects. But, you know, for whatever reason, she just doesn't do it for me. And this movie was competent, it was very well made, totally straightforward retelling of a really important event in American history that I was just like, yeah, walked out thinking... That was nice. You know, like, I didn't really connect with it. Just like Argo. But there was this whole thing where, like, oh, that movie's pro-torture. And so that got spread around during the voting process for the Oscars. And the common wisdom now is that totally destroyed its chances of winning. And they're doing the same thing to the little girl from Beasts of the Southern Wild. I don't know if it was as successful, but we'll see.
There's no real, like, I mean... being pro-torture is a fairly onerous thing. Mm-hmm. Being, well, she's just a little girl, less so.
Yeah, really. Yeah, totally. Yeah, I think Amor's the only thing I haven't seen. I guess I'll have to get out in front of that and check that out. But it's going to be kind of a boring Oscars this year. I mean, Seth MacFarlane, come on.
Yeah, I have no idea what to expect, but honestly, I think it's been like 3 or 4 years since I've seen my last Oscar telecast.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah, no, this year, for whatever reason, I'm less interested in it, and I think it's just because I liked a lot of movies this year. I didn't love a lot of movies this year, and it's always more fun when there's like two or three things for Best Picture that I loved, and that makes it more exciting and fun to watch. This year, it was just kind of...
Well, there are two for me. One was Beasts of the Southern Wild, obviously, and the other was Moonrise Kingdom.
Yeah, which really kind of got snubbed. I thought they didn't get nominated for much of anything except from like screenplay.
It's too weird and quirky.
I guess.
Old people don't like weird and quirky.
I guess they don't, but I thought it was Wes Anderson's probably most like super audience-friendly. Well, maybe not. I don't know. I thought it should have been nominated for Best Picture. Like,
I don't know. My barometer is show it to the parents. And when I was in Detroit, I showed that to the parents because I got it for Christmas and they loved it. So,
yeah. That's a really good movie. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I think that's all I've been watching, actually, is Oscar stuff. Trying to catch up. Oh, no. I'll get to that in a minute. But I wanted to just briefly mention that there's some really good stuff on American TV right now. If people have not caught up with it, Portlandia is actually having a really good season. I was kind of worried about that show because season two felt like they were kind of running out of ideas. It's a pretty limited scope series for comedy, but they're still doing really good stuff. So for whatever reason you haven't been watching that, definitely check it out if you enjoy good sketch comedy.
I do not get that show.
Yeah, well, slightly. Really?
No.
But you love making fun of hippies.
Well, yeah, in passing, but, you know, it marinates in it. I just find it irritating.
They for whatever reason, find new angles on it in every episode that works. For whatever reason, it works for me. I like their recurring bits, and generally there's going to be one sketch in every episode that really knocks it out of the park. So I've been pretty impressed with it, and we're recording this just a few hours before the final 30 Rock, and I gotta say, I'm really sad to see that show go.
Me too. Violent sobbing. Even though seasons 5 and 6 were both pretty weak.
I thought season 6 was better. Like, it definitely improved, but season 5 was super weak.
It got a little better, but towards the end of season 5, it got so bad that I actually quit watching for a while.
Really? I never gave up on it, but I certainly, you know, they would sit there on the DVR next to unwatched episodes of The Office for a week or two before Sunday would roll around and I would be bored. And I'm like, all right, I finally watched this. But this season's been fucking phenomenal. Like, every episode is a home run. And everything I've been reading about it, like, they did this big article in Rolling Stone that was actually really good.
Yeah.
The show didn't need to end, but Tina Fey has just fucking had it, and she's on like kid number 3 or something like that, or kid number 2, and doesn't want to do the show anymore. And I can't blame her, but I guess it's best to just go out on top. They are in season 7 at this point, so
I don't know how you raise a kid working those 18-hour days.
No,
I mean, those are 18-hour days.
Yeah, and her husband works on the show too, so it's like where who raises the kids, I guess, but. Yeah, it's just, it's like, man, this is clearly, like, in its prime right now. But who knows? Maybe they were just like, look, let's just pull out all the stops. Every great idea we've had that we've been saving, let's just do them all in this season. And that's why it's been so good.
You know, the ratings just kept going down and down and down. And so it was like, well, if we plan it, at least we can have an ending.
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, NBC was not in a position to cancel it. It was never. I don't think it was ever seriously under threat in the last couple of years of cancellation, of serious cancellation, because A, the power that Lorne Michaels has over NBC, and B, the giant mountain of Emmys. Like, that was a prestige show for them. So
it was really rough. I mean, that those numbers were
bad.
Were less than some shows that were getting canceled.
Yeah, that's true. Well, and it never got canceled, and it never seriously felt like it was going to get canceled. Like, I pay attention to all that stuff where it's like, here's what's on the bubble, here's what's not. 30 Rock was never really considered. They're like, yeah, okay, the ratings suck, but I never felt like it was in serious danger of being let go. And so, like, that's why I feel like it totally could have stayed on the air for another couple seasons, And I think they signed almost everybody for an eighth season. So, I don't know, who knows. But it's going to be sad. I'm going to miss that show a lot.
I am too, and the show that gave us so much great slang we use every day.
Right, really.
My favorite is Sex Idiot.
Oh, gosh, man. So, yeah, that's tonight, and then the show no one watches but me, Enlightened, also really good this season.
Couldn't deal.
Cannot imagine it getting a third season.
That show is so thoroughly unlikable on every level.
You know what? Somebody compared it to the guy who writes it and directs it, and who's in the show, Mike White. He's made a lot of indie films, and it is like watching an indie film in chapters. And if you sort of look at it that way, kind of takes on a different hue. But you do have to tolerate the fact that the lead character is completely toxic and the ultimate sort of narcissist. And it's tough to watch sometimes, but it also has so much beauty in it and so much great dialogue and so many good themes. It's just really well done and no one fucking watches it. So if you're in the mood for, something different, I would strongly recommend it to people who just want something new and different and maybe not like anything you'd see on, certainly not on network television. But I know I drove you up the wall.
Oh, could not deal. I didn't see any of the positive qualities you just mentioned, to be honest.
Yeah, no, let's say, look, I mean, I was kind of losing it about halfway through the first season, and then it ended so strongly, and I found myself really understanding where they were going with the characters and what it was they were trying to say. And once that clicked, all that fell into place for me, I started really enjoying it, like really loving the show. And now in season two, it's just continually getting better and better and better and better. So, I don't know. Good shit, man. Good shit. Oh.
New season of Archer just started.
Oh, yeah. I have not caught up with that yet.
Two episodes in, I'm still rolling in that as like a pig in shit.
God, they promoted the fuck out of that.
It's doing really well.
Yeah, good for them. Didn't they already announce like another two seasons or something like that?
Pretty sure, and they can run that shit into the ground as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, well, they're only on what, season four now?
Yeah, this would be season four.
So
God, it's just so profane.
Yeah, I've got it on my DVR. I'll have to catch up with that at some point.
Episode one's a little weird. They were trying it doesn't quite work. They were trying to do a nonlinear storyline with that one.
Yeah, really? Okay.
But episode two is pretty great. It has Timothy Oliphant nice. Guest starring.
Excellent. So. Cool. Yeah, lots of good stuff on US TV, but anime. So I started finally watching Black Lagoon, and have not watched it. I watched the first episode years ago,
right.
And finally decided I'm going to watch this fucking thing. And I'm about four episodes into it, and I'm enjoying it. It's very, very entertaining. It's also extremely violent and crude. But I gotta be honest, there's something about the look of that show that bores me. I think the aesthetic of it is just very flat, everything's gunmetal gray, it's kind of grimy, and it's
a little bit early 2000s in its look.
Exactly, yeah. And and I'm not a huge fan of the character design. Specifically, I don't know what it is, but everybody's... It feels like the cast was somehow outfitted by, like, a Sears. Like, it's really...
Everyone is poorly dressed.
Yeah, it's all just kind of dull and flat-looking, and I wish it had a little bit more visual panache to it. But the stories are interesting. I like the characters, and, really solid action in just about every episode. So, I'm enjoying it. It's a trifle. I don't think I'm going to review it, but I'll definitely finish it. That's for sure. I could totally see myself watching both seasons, and yeah, hopefully it'll stay entertaining. That's what I'm hoping for. So there's that, and then I'm still trying to get through Blood Sea, and let me tell you, kind of regretting my decision to watch the show. Well, I'm watching it for the ending, but I want to watch the whole thing. I don't just want to skip. But the problem with the show is it is insanely repetitive and obfuscates and obfuscates and obfuscates. I'm like five or six episodes in, maybe seven episodes in. Nothing is happening. It is just a slog. And I can tell they're just like, oh, it's like those obnoxious like J.J. Abrams mystery box things where mm-hmm. they hold on to the secrets for just way too long and you stop caring. I know it. I was not watching this expecting it to be good. I did go into it expecting it to be bad, and it is kind of a bad show. I'm hoping that the apparently Bugnuts ending redeems it at least for, like, shock value or, oh my god, I can't believe they did that value. That's what I'm watching it for, but I am kind of regretting my decision to commit to this, at least publicly saying, yeah, I think I'm going to watch that and review it, because I don't even know where to start writing about this fucking thing. But my other reviews will finally go up probably next week for Mass Effect and Penguin Drum.
Looking forward to those.
Yeah, Penguin Drum's really good, man. You should watch it.
Okay.
It's I think you might enjoy it.
Shitty subtitle track and all.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. You know, you can get past that. But
right.
you can understand what's happening in the show with the official subs. It's not that big a deal.
I've dealt with worse.
Yeah. I think it might be streaming on Anime Network, but I'm not sure. So you don't necessarily have to run out and buy the Blu-rays, but, you know, I think you should check it out. I think you might get something out of it.
Okay.
I've only seen the first half, so apparently all the really great stuff happens in the second half, but I enjoyed the first half just fine. Yeah, well, of course, Ikuhara, you know.
Right. I have a review going up too, don't I?
You do, actually. You did review this for us a little while ago, and because it was a theatrical review, I tend to hang on to those because, there's no actual release for that. It's been shown specifically, it was shown for their laughable Oscar push.
That worked out.
But yeah, boy. Home run for those guys. But it's not available, and does it even have a licensor? Is anybody going to release that?
No.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. So, yeah, it'll go up. That review of Mystical Laws will go up next week, I'm pretty sure. And yeah, you made it sound, you know, compelling, at least.
It's decent. It's not great, but it's a absolutely serviceable seinen sci-fi yarn.
Yeah, I'm curious to see it myself. At least we can put it in the canon of weird cult anime.
Right. There's a lot of those.
Yeah, really. Okay, so we got a bunch of Twitter questions here, so let's go ahead and get to those. Okay, Cecil234 asks, hey, what are your thoughts on the ending of the Higurashi anime? You know, I never got around to that show.
Me neither. We have no thoughts.
No thoughts, sorry. Xavier Santana XB Saint asks, are we going to see more remakes of iconic anime from the late 70s outside of Yamato 2199 and Gundam The Origin? So this was asked before Egan totally debunked the rumor going around that Gundam The Origin was going to be animated.
Posted by some websites as fact.
Yeah, posted by many websites as fact. It's funny to me because Egan does his job as a journalist and debunks a rumor, and the forum sort of is like, slow news day, huh? And it's like, yeah, boy, what a jerk, like, fucking being a responsible journalist. Like, somebody needs to do that, guys. It's important that bad information get called out. Like, ugh, man, it's... Anyway, so that's not happening. But Yamato 2199 certainly did happen. I don't know. What do you think?
It depends. I mean, they make an attempt to reboot those old Tatsunoko shows, it seems like, every 3 years or so.
Yeah, and none of them really seem to go anywhere.
No, well, you had Yatterman. I mean, nobody gave a shit here, but in Japan they did pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just one of those things, like, everyone is constantly looking for old properties to reboot because no one has any, no one wants to take a risk on a new idea.
Right.
Just like here.
Yeah, I think there's a remake of Harlock coming out pretty soon.
Yeah, that movie.
Right.
Just got announced. Yeah, the trailer looks pretty damn impressive.
Is this a CG one?
Yeah.
Man, they were showing that at TAFF when we were there.
Well, this is another trailer that looks better.
So that movie's been in production for a long time then.
Well, yeah, CG movies do take a while.
Yeah, no, I know. It's just like, I would have thought that would have come out by now, considering they were showing completed footage from it at TAFF, I think both years we went.
It wasn't a completed footage, that was a proof of concept.
Oh, was it? Okay. I thought that was actual, like, okay.
No, I think that was a pilot promo to raise money.
Oh, interesting. Huh. All right, then. Well, I look forward to checking that out. I could go for some Harlock, I feel like. Sounds okay to me right now.
Yeah.
70s anime. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if they manage to strike gold and go back and say, like, hey, no one's beat... I mean, I'm kind of surprised there hasn't been a new Gundam in a while. I mean, there was that Gundam, the little kid show.
Gundam Ace.
Yeah. and
which everyone seemed to dislike.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, I'm surprised they haven't remade Gundam 79. I imagine that they might at some point, but who knows? I don't know. Gundam's never gone away, though. It's kind of like when I see, like, oh, man, the Ninja Turtles are back. It's like, you know, the Ninja Turtles have had a new show on the air pretty much every year for the last 20 years. Like, it never went away. Like, it's too viable a property, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, who knows? All right. Fightbait asks, might be boring to some listeners, but I'm curious about what kind of gear and software you use to make your show. So, we tape the show over Skype. I just have a mixer. It's a Yamaha MG82CX plugged into my desktop machine. I've got a blue Spark microphone. It's kind of a lollipop orange thing that I'm just about to replace. It's about that time. And I use SoundForge. It's kind of an outdated version, but I didn't want to pay the $400 or whatever it is for the most recent one, so I bought an older one for cheaper. And that does all of our sound. I do all my editing in that, and then I use Levelator to even everybody out. So that's how we make the show. Pretty simple, actually. We used to do it in person, and it just became kind of a pain in the ass. So.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I couldn't go over to your place because of Bunny.
Yeah, because you're allergic to rabbits, because you're secretly evil.
rabbits and coffee, proof God hates me.
Right, really?
you driving up the 5 every week, that was just not tenable long term.
It wasn't. And frankly, the show hasn't... Like, you can't go back to those other shows and see, like, any sort of... At least not in my head. I don't see any discernible difference between what we were doing then. And, you know, even then, that was only maybe the first 6 months of the show. So.
Yeah.
Okay. AC in the 715 asks, which fast food mascots would you like to see dressed as Dragon Ball Z characters?
You're not going to be Colonel Sanders.
Yeah, what are you going to... How are you going to...
Maybe the king, although I think they've abandoned him.
You know what? I want to see Super Saiyan 5 Grimace. I would be fine with that.
Hamburglar.
Right. Maybe the Hamburglar. He can be dressed up as Vegeta. God, that's so awful. Okay. All right. Nemo Mentison asks, haven't heard much about editors in the industry. It's talking about anime. In the anime industry, can you think of any anime film editors of note? Do they play a different role?
They do.
In animation in general, editing is very different because it all happens before anything is animated.
Yeah, most of the cuts and all that are worked out at storyboards,
right.
At storyboard stage. So really the editors are just doing very minimal trimming.
Yeah, and that's why in any Blu-ray you might get that might have special features on an animated Blu-ray, the deleted scenes are generally going to be storyboards, and that's because that's the process by which those are weeded out because it's too fucking expensive to animate shit that you're not going to use. So it's a very different job from editing in film where you're literally taking 30 hours and trimming it down into 1.5. Okay. Also from New Medicine, what episodes of AMCAST do you guys take the most personal pride in? This is kind of an easy question, actually. The big one, I think, is...
Carl Masek.
That's something I take a lot of pride in, that we were able to do that with him before his passing.
Yes, absolutely.
I think we were his final interview, actually. And we Pretty had him sure. on for like 3 hours. This question prompts me to let people know that I am going to start reposting some sort of best of episodes that I feel like we're very proud of, that podcasts tend to just sink into the ether and no one ever, you know, revisits them. You have people going back through the catalog, but I kind of want to give people a place to start because this is almost episode 150. And,
jeez.
Yeah, and... I kind of want to go through and cherry pick and just have like one article on the site, maybe during a week where we're not having a show, and just say like, here are the 10 ones that we're most proud of. And I think the Carl one would definitely be up there. The Jake Adelstein one.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that one was on his book on the Yakuza. Everybody loved that episode. We got so much positive feedback on that one. It was nuts.
Chad Keim.
Yeah, which I feel needs to be reposted so people know it's there. Because there's so much information about the popping of the anime bubble and what happened at Genion. And Chad was so candid with us. So that was a great, it was a really good episode, not to toot our own horn, but just having the access to it was really, it wasn't us, it was just having the access, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And let's be fair, there's a lot of chaff in there.
Yeah, sure. But
we've had so many shows that we were really excited about going into, and afterwards we're just like, well, that was a show.
Yeah, it sure was a show. Yeah, that's a lot. Like, to pick 10 might actually be tough for me to do, but I can think of at least, you know, three to five that are like, okay, if you want a sampling of what we do, please look at this stuff because it's the best stuff.
I'd like to get some people in the forum answering what they think is their favorite shows, because, you know, stuff that's just us shooting the shit with our friends tends to do pretty well. And, you know, those are fairly worthless to us because it's just kind of us chatting. But other people seem to really like them, so I have no idea how to quantify that.
Our top-rated stuff is usually, like, super nerds. Like, yeah. those shows get more listeners than most. And, you know, this show does pretty well, but those shows overperform. And, you know, I think that's just because we get along with Daryl and Mike, and it works. But, yeah, easily, like, you and I look at those, and we're like, yeah, okay, well, we shot the shit for 2 hours. But for whatever reason, people really like them. So, yeah, maybe I'll do, like, an informal, like I'll just go on Twitter and say, like, what was your favorite? Recommend something that I would put in a, hey, here's what you should listen to if you want to listen to this podcast. But anyway, enough masturbation. Let's move on. Cowboy Dev asks, how many times have you openly weeped watching an anime? A couple times.
A lot.
Well, yeah. Maybe you're a little bit more of a crier than I am, but, yeah. Definitely a few times. Off the top of my head, the ending of Utena usually makes me cry. The movie does too, a little
now,
bit.
Are we talking sniffles, you know, lump in throat, or violent sobbing?
Well, he says openly weeped, so I'm gonna guess something you don't want other people to see you doing. I don't think I've ever had something really just make me fucking break down, but plenty. I mean, Ghibli stuff certainly has.
Pretty much everything Takahata's ever made.
Yeah, that's all tearjerker kind of stuff. Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, certainly anime is just as capable of invoking powerful emotion as any other artistic medium, and it's definitely gotten to me more than once. I'm pretty sure the first time I saw the ending of Escaflowne, it broke me down a little bit.
Let's see. The ones that did it for me more than any others were the very, very, very ending, the last cut that the credits roll over of Now and Then, Here and There.
Oh, yeah. Whew, yeah.
Oh, my God. And let's see. Definitely the ending of, Only Yesterday.
Right. Duh. Yeah,
yeah, that's the obvious. My Neighbor is the Yamadas, for reasons I still don't quite understand.
Really?
Yeah, that whole scene with the cake bobsled.
Oh, yeah.
That just levels me every time.
Hmm.
Let's see, it's just, oh, Bunny Drop.
Really?
Yeah, actually, it's the end credit sequence that just absolutely slays me. I actually had a tough time, because I had to make the Blu-ray for that, and I had to stop working a few times.
Wow.
Huh. You're right, I'm a crier. I'm a what the hell is wrong with me? I'm a grown man.
Hey, man, everyone's got feelings.
Some more than others.
Yeah, yeah, really. No, definitely. I've definitely. Anime makes me cry pretty often. I would maybe not quite as often as you, but definitely often.
Windaria.
Yeah, that one, I was kind of laughing at how over the top the tragedy was.
Well,
that's a real fine line for me, though. Like, I will start laughing if something is just trying too hard to make me cry. I'll just start laughing. Because it's like, come on, you're not going to get me that easily. You know? You know?
Go Shogun the Time Etrange.
I haven't seen that in a really long time.
Oh, you got to revisit that.
I think I tried to for the Revenge of the 80s. Was that a 90s thing or an 80s thing?
80s.
80s, yeah. I think I tried to and I couldn't, for whatever reason, just didn't connect with it. I don't know. That was during a time when I was watching a million things a week, so probably a victim of that. Maybe I'll go back to it at some point.
I have a remaster of it all.
Oh, too. Cool. Excellent. Okay. KN Sir Jack asks, what's your opinion on Sentai / Section 23? Seem to be licensing everything under the sun that sucks, and also a few gems. Well, whatever they're doing seems to be working for them, so I'm not gonna knock them.
But. We have no idea if it's working or not, but the truth is, they got colorful, and colorful will be added to the list from the last question.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, you mentioned
Colorful is a fantastic fucking movie, and everyone needs to see it when it comes out.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about them, every now and then on the show, and to be, you know, we've said it before, I will say it again. Hopefully everyone who will ever ask me about this will listen to this. They will not come on this show. As far as I can tell, they won't go on any show. They don't give interviews. I've bugged them and bugged them and bugged them. I have friends there. I still have friends there. And we talk candidly off the record, and I can't repeat anything obviously said in those conversations, but they don't want to come on the show. I don't think they see any value in doing any press outside of convention panels. And convention panels are tightly controlled events that it's just David Williams taking questions and giving his coy answers like he always does and always has. And then that's it. And, you know, frankly, like, again, and we've talked about this before, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And what their basic philosophy is, why open ourselves up to the criticism? Why don't we just keep our heads down, do what we're going to do, and try and make this work and keep the lights on? And we haven't heard anything about layoffs. We haven't heard anything about them being in any kind of dire financial trouble. You know, there's no smoke, so I'm not going to say there's fire. You know?
You know, I so envy them. That is such a great way to work. I mean, and nobody in this business has resisted the temptation to talk for as long as they have. And, you know, why subject yourself to all the constant Monday morning quarterbacking?
Yeah, really. I mean, you know, as much as we, you and I, and the show thrives on it when people do open up to us, and of course we always love that, and we love having our friends from Funimation on, and those shows usually go really well. I don't see anything wrong with their particular approach. Do I want them to come on and talk to us about what's happening? Yes. Will they? No. And I respect them for that. It's fine. So, you know, please, you know, whenever I put out, say like, hey, who do you guys want to see on the show? Please stop asking about Sentai. They're never going to come on. Maybe, you know, never say never, I guess, but I've gotten no enough times to know not to ask at this point. So, yeah. And Stephen Foster hates us, so he won't come on.
Damn it.
Can you blame him?
Hey, a show, a very popular show that calls him out whenever he does anything a little too creative, I can't imagine why.
Mm, yeah. I mean, I'm not defending his choices. Like,
no.
I'm not a fan of his work, generally. And the internet generally doesn't seem to be a fan of his. But the internet's generally not a fan of anything, so there you go.
I have to admit, that compilation reel they made of all of his, like, ridiculous choices in the, God, what was that really mediocre adventure show?
Gooin Saga,
yeah. There's a montage of all of his weird moments, and a couple of those made me laugh, I will admit.
Well, right, but
you're not supposed to laugh at Gooin Saga, yeah, is the problem.
That's the bad part, where it's like, hey, the people who are watching this generally are taking it seriously, so, yeah. All right, moving on. Rolling Penguin 7 asks, what's your opinion on the news that there won't be any new Noe Tamine show airing in the spring? Well, that had to happen eventually, right? I mean, have they had a hit in a while?
Depends on what you call hit. They haven't had a new Moyashimon, that's for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, I hope that they will continue to, you know, do stuff, but maybe not every season at this point. Who knows? I don't know. Okay, Land of Obscusion with Madball 34 being re-released. Are there any bad, good anime you feel is worth license rescuing? I say Crystal Triangle.
Oh, God.
Bad, good anime.
Angel Cop. Angel Cop definitely needs license rescue.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, there's like 10 people who'd be really excited about that.
Hey, if Madball is good enough for a license rescue, Angel Cop has to be.
I would imagine if Madball breaks even or makes a little bit of money, Discotech will probably pick up License Cop. Or License Cop. They'll probably license Angel Cop. It seems like that's kind of their MO at this point.
If they have a faithful subtitle track, they'd have to have a disclaimer slate.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Discotech Media does not condone or endorse the views in this show.
Yeah, really. The views and opinions expressed by Angel Cop are not...
Yeah.
Okay.
We do not believe in the worldwide Jewish conspiracy.
Bad, good anime. Nothing comes to mind off the top of my head. There's so much bad stuff. There's very little... I think there's very little bad good.
There really is. I mean...
But that's rare in movies. That's rare in TV. That's just rare in art as it generally sits. The bad good is one of the best things and also one of the rarest. I guess I wouldn't mind seeing somebody put out that Dracula thing.
Oh, yeah. That, holy shit.
Yeah, wouldn't mind seeing that. But that's the only thing that immediately pops into my head. Okay, Itoju asks, what's your favorite unabashedly happy ending in an anime series?
Unabashedly happy? Who the fuck wants that?
There's not a lot of that. Just Japanese storytelling in general tends to end on ambiguity. So, not a whole lot of like, yay, everyone. It's not like Harry Potter ending.
Ambiguity, you know? Or just wrenching death and horror.
Right, yeah, yeah. Or at least bittersweet. Like, that's
right.
The happiest generally you're gonna wind up with. Not a lot of unabashedly happy endings.
God, I'm hard-pressed to even come up with an unabashedly happy ending. Off the top of my head.
The Nausicaa movie has an unabashedly happy ending.
Right.
Actually, Miyazaki in general doesn't have downer endings. Princess Mononoke, sort of.
Right.
But that's bittersweet.
Yeah.
Spirited
Away is just kind of like a what the fuck was that ending.
Ponyo's got the fuck you ending.
Right.
Bet you thought this story was going somewhere. Nope.
Actually, Fushigi Yugi has, like, three good endings.
Does it?
Every one of them, and then they're just like, oh, wait a minute, they're not together anymore.
Yeah, really.
Every OVA.
Yeah. They just kept ripping those two apart so they could bring them back together again and extend the franchise. Favorite unabashedly happy. I mean, again, Miyazaki stuff, I guess.
Only yesterday. What was I thinking?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the Ghibli canon in general tends to have upbeat endings. With, one very notable exception. Yeah. All right. Moving on. Okay. Wandering Waves asks, I'm going to Japan in 2 months, so I was wondering if you and Justin could talk about must-see places in Tokyo and Osaka. I have not been to Osaka.
Yeah, neither have I. However, Tokyo.
Tokyo, we've been plenty of times.
Skip the fucking Tokyo Tower.
Oh, God. Yeah. You'll see it when you're driving around.
Yeah.
You don't need to go to it. Yeah. I actually really liked Ueno Park. You get to see those giant crows with the fuzzy heads.
Those things are terrifying.
Yeah,
and I'm
huge.
A bird fan.
They're the size of, like, toddlers.
They really are. And, like, those beaks look like they could, you know, crack your skull open if they wanted
to.
Oh,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're all super used to humans, so they're just kind of hanging out waiting for you to drop some popcorn. But, God, they're massive. But Ueno Park, especially if you go, you're going in about 2 months, so that'll be about Taft time. That'll be about Matsuri time.
Yeah.
So go to Ueno Park and see the people reveling under the cherry blossoms. It's a stereotype, but it's magic when you do get to see it.
And you need to go to as many of those food stalls as humanly possible.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. For anime stuff, my favorite's Nakano Broadway. I feel like this is the world's least kept secret at this point, but Nakano Broadway is the best.
Akihabara is actually not that great. Nakano Broadway is a place to go.
I mean, don't skip Akihabara. Like, don't skip
it. No, I mean, you need to see it, but most of these shops are, you know, full SRP, holy crap, this is expensive, Blu-rays, and porno statues.
Yeah, and, you know, if you're into old video games, go to, what's the name of that store?
Liberty.
Liberty, and see
there's like
the,
three or four of them.
Well, and specifically go to the one that's playing 8-bit music in the street. I think there's an 8-bit Mario on the front of the building, and upstairs they have a throne made of Famicom cartridges, and you need to see it. Other than that, all the tourist stuff is worth checking out. Absolutely go to Shibuya and go when it's really crowded, just to witness it, just to be part of that, because it's fucking nuts.
Unless you're agoraphobic, in which case do not.
Yeah, in which case don't go. Tokyo Hands. Not Tokyo Hands. What's that
Tokyo
place?
Hands.
Not that interesting. What was that place in Shibuya that we always went to? The crap. sort of like a Target crossed with an IKEA crossed with like a boutique. Like had a lot of weird shit in it.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm just blanking on the name right
now. I
want to
say Loft.
Yes, Loft.
Loft. That's it. Okay, that's it. Yeah. Go there. Ikebukuro is neat, I guess. It's really small.
You really need to be Fujoshi to get into into the stores there.
If you just want to see it, it is kind of a neat little neighborhood, and we did go to a nice cat cafe there.
And those, I get really claustrophobic in some of those stores.
God, yeah, well.
That animate, oh my god, I thought I was going to die.
It was like the world's most crowded animate, and it was the smallest animate. That was ridiculous. The cat cafe is definitely worth going to if you like cats. They have
yes,
bunny
there are
cafes
several,
too.
I think.
Yeah. Yeah, several. I think there's like a lot of them now.
I have no interest in going to a maid cafe.
No, but you certainly could if you wanted to. I'm trying to think of where else we went that was really nifty. The museum in Ueno Park is worth checking out.
Oh, definitely go to the Mandarake in Shibuya.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, that's a really good one.
There's a bunch of Mandarake, but the one in Shibuya is like a museum almost.
Yeah, and the weird shop in Nakano Broadway is cool too, if you like really creepy, weird shit. Right.
Oh, actually, in the same building, if you're into collecting old soundtracks like I am, in the same building as that Mandarake in Shibuya is a really cool old record store, used record store.
Oh, right.
And that's where I found like a bunch of old anime OSTs like, you know, Cosmo Police Justy and a couple others.
Yeah. Yeah, lots of good stuff to see. Unfortunately, can't help you on Osaka. And I would say stay the fuck out of Odaiba. Just don't go.
Stay out of Odaiba and stay the fuck out of Harajuku.
Oh, God, yeah. Don't go to Harajuku. Oh, God, that was miserable.
Oh, my God, I hated it. Okay, you can get a Japanese-style crepe, but you know what? You can get that in the States some places, too.
Well, and it's when we were there, it was fucking swarming with Eurotrash dudes trying to pick up girls.
Yep.
Like, it's nothing but dudes in aviator sunglasses speaking German to Japanese, probably underage girls. It was super creepy and bro-hiney, and I did not enjoy it. Harajuku sucks, man. So, yeah. But have a good time, man. I miss Japan. I need to go back pretty soon.
Yeah, I want to go somewhere other than Tokyo this time.
Well, that's the thing. Like, if I were to go, because I can't afford the however many thousands of dollars it is to go on my own,
right?
I would have to go for work. And when we go for work, we're stuck in Tokyo for like a week and a half, and we can't really leave. There's not enough time to leave. There's too much work to do, so we're just sort of stuck in Tokyo. I mean, how many? It felt like we were trapped in Shibuya forever the last time we went.
Well, we were trapped in Shibuya forever.
Yeah, this is miserable.
that said, you know, there's nothing stopping you from, like, you know, planning an extra week there.
But that's going to be thousands of dollars.
Yeah, it is. And it's not the plane fare that gets expensive. It's everything else.
Yeah, right, exactly. It's funny, like, it always struck me as it's either real cheap to eat or real expensive to eat. Like, not a lot of middle ground.
And what really adds up are the train passes.
Yeah, it seems like, wow, this is inexpensive, but suddenly at the end of your trip, you've racked up $250 worth of train bills.
If you're lucky. Yeah. I think I broke 500 once.
Really? Wow. Yeah, I remember the last time we were there. I don't know if it was the second time or the first time where We were meant to leave. We'd been there for like 8 days, and I was meant to leave. I think it was the first time. And a UPS cargo plane crashed into the airport at Narita.
Oh, right.
And I got stuck there for another 3 days, and I was terrified because I'm like, look, I budgeted to be here for 8 days, and that's it. And then I was like, okay, so I'm going to sit in my hotel room for 3 days and eat at the fucking ramen stand. And not spend a dime, because you can blow a lot of money in Tokyo.
I remember you were a ball of fun.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Super. Well, by then I was up to like $450 just in pet sitting bills. So then I had to.
Oh God! Yeah, the pets. I completely forgot.
So another 3 days adds another $100 to that bill. It was a little harrowing, but yeah.
This is why you should not have any love in your life.
And if you are a Disney person, I personally strongly recommend checking out Tokyo DisneySea. You can get to it very easily from pretty much anywhere in central Tokyo. I left from Shinjuku? I don't think it was Shinjuku. This is a movie theater. I can't remember the exact neighborhood, but we stayed in a hotel there. It was the place with that crappy Denny's-style place that we ate at.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah, that place sucked.
Well, we stayed in that hotel that looked like it was built in the 70s.
Yeah.
Do you remember that neighborhood?
That wasn't Shiodome. That was, starts with a she.
Well, anyway, you can get to Tokyo DisneySea pretty easily from central Tokyo. It's expensive, but it's also the nicest Disney theme park in the world. And if you're really into, like, theming and cool rides and stuff, that is a only place in the world you're going to get to see that. It was built by probably the finest people working on theme park attractions right now. And if you're a nerd for that stuff like I am, it's paradise. So go check it out.
Anyway. There's one thing I completely forgot, actually. If you find the I completely forget where this is. I think it's in, like, a big office-y area. If you find the Nippon Terebi building, there is a really nifty clockwork, apparently Miyazaki designed clockwork little cute thing that, you know, goes off every hour.
Mm-hmm.
Like you know, one of those ancient German style clock things.
Like a cuckoo clock kind of?
Except it's really long and is like this big, you know, this big show every time of, you know, clockwork figures doing cute things. That's definitely worth seeing.
Oh, and we're really off on a tangent here. I had a good time going to Shinjuku and going down to the government buildings. And you can go all the way to it's like the 77th floor. The building has like the Japanese DMV in it, and there's this weird war museum in there. And I had fun exploring it. But at the very, very tippy top of this building, it's kind of a touristy place, but it's got this panoramic view of the city. And you can see Mount Fuji. Don't go on a foggy day. Make sure it's nice and bright outside. But you can see Mount Fuji, and it's free and it's neat. So yeah, if you want to do something inexpensive, go check out the DMV. yeah, it's a long walk though from the train station.
I have this horrible fascination with Gotanda.
Yeah. You really do.
It's just so seedy and shitty, but I kind of like exploring it because it's like it's a part of Tokyo that they kind of wish you wouldn't visit because it has all the, like, you know, soap lands and
yeah, it's like a red light district.
But it's not even the nice red light district.
it's
the trashy red light district that, you know, I imagine the girls that are too busted to work in Shinjuku work there.
That's terrible. Okay, all right. Let's see. Another question about that Gundam remake that's not happening yet. Sweet Durga asks, some anime fans remember old anime like Slayers being comedy classics, but which ones actually hold up as being funny now? Well, not Slayers.
No.
And not Tenchi. 90s comedy anime, I don't think any of it really holds up, but I'm a tough customer when it comes to this kind of thing. Somebody told me that I should try revisiting Excel Saga. Bad idea.
Really?
Real bad idea. That was...
I didn't find that funny when it came out.
Neither did I. I didn't. But if you expressed that opinion, because when that show came out, everybody lost their fucking mind for it. But if you expressed the opinion like, you know, this is kind of not funny. It's just kind of manic. Yelling is not the same as being funny. Excel Saga is mostly yelling. Super repetitive running jokes that they lean on way too hard, and it's just, ugh, I don't like it.
I think Shinesman holds up.
That's the one everyone points to as still being genuinely funny. I have not revisited it, so I couldn't tell you. I know it made me laugh the first time I saw it.
Most of that's the dub, though.
Yeah, well, that's what's funny about it, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Let's see. I think if you go to the, like, I think parts of Maison Ikkoku still hold up as do parts of Urusei Yatsura.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Not the whole thing, but, you know, parts of it. I would, like, watch an episode here and there, and they would make me laugh.
Yeah, sure. I'll give you that. I can agree with that. It's an effective sitcom. Definitely still has some funny bits in it. But like all Rumiko Takahashi stuff, gets repetitive. And it's the same about 5 jokes over and over and over again.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Okay. CTR, bunch of numbers, asks, he's noticed that Blu-ray discs have a more rounded edge compared to DVDs. Is there a reason for this?
Yes. The most of the material on both discs are made by sandwiching materials together. Like, you have a layer of the shiny stuff, and then you have a layer of etched stuff, and it just sandwiched together. Mm-hmm. With Blu-ray, almost all of it, almost all of the recorded data is very near the surface.
Right.
So, to protect against that, they have to put a, I forget what it's actually called, but I call it a true coat, on the disc. So it's a very thick anti-scratch protection, and that kind of gives the whole thing kind of a bulbousness.
Right.
Yeah. Also because, you know, it's mostly towards the edge, it's not really, you know.
Right.
That surface is really important, because if it didn't have that, every little scratch would completely damage the recorded data.
Yeah, and the scratch protection stuff on Blu-ray is really nice. Like, it works. Yeah. It's very effective. Not that I know anybody. Like, I don't understand how discs get scratched, just because everything stays in its case and everything's in its place. And I'm very, I guess, tidy with my media. But I guess some people just, like, take the disc out, throw it on the coffee table, you know, spill bong water on it, accidentally drop pizza sauce on it or something. Like, I guess some people just don't take care of their shit, but...
I leave discs out sometimes.
Well, you master for a living. Of course you do. I would imagine you have giant stacks.
I'm that cartoon character that when I run real fast somewhere, I leave behind a trail of discs.
Right, yeah. For you, it's understandable. For just someone who has, like, you know, a bunch of media in their house, I don't get the scratch thing, but whatever. I guess also, problem. Like, little kids, that's a big problem, too.
Yeah, they put shit in their mouths.
Yeah. Okay. AngelXO3 asks, is there a rise of people abusing Oricon sales rankings of anime titles in order to show off how their favorite title succeeded? I have definitely noticed this.
Yep, absolutely.
People really like to crow about how, well, this is the anime that's successful, and then they just use Oricon. Which, as far as I know, is a fairly flawed way to crow about the success of something. It's not that different from looking at VideoScan, I think, which doesn't include any major retailers.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, what is the value of a VideoScan that doesn't take into account Walmart or Amazon?
Yeah, it's not, because that's where most things are sold. So, yeah, I mean, it's a good way to get an idea of what the top-selling things are, but using it to, I don't know, puff yourself up seems really dumb to me. But, you know, this is the problem of, I've internalized the entertainment that I consume so much so that it succeeding means I'm succeeding, which is real silly, guys.
Yeah, I guess people do the same thing for sports. So.
Yeah, oh, well, totally, yeah, which is also silly.
I don't like any of those people.
All right. Also from AngelXO3, is there a Japanese equivalent of ANN that also has reviews with a similar tone and style as yours? I have no way of knowing that.
Absolutely not.
Well, and Nerd Press, Entertainment Press in Japan does not function in the same way that Entertainment Press works here at all. It's over there, it's a symbiotic relationship. They're expected to be an arm of the company's marketing wing. And that's how they behave, in general.
Right. And, you know, things tend to be very either matter-of-fact or very kind of showy and positive. I don't know enough about this to really say this definitively. But, yeah, the press, I mean, you're not going to find an absolute equivalent to ANN there, because they're just the system's just too different.
Yeah, I think the place that you go for genuine opinion of otaku is 2chan. That's generally where you go if you want to see them ranting and raving about whatever it is they hate the most that particular week.
Mm-hmm.
Which, that seems like that's generally what internet fandom is now. It's not about positivity. Okay. The Omidon asks, as far as you know, what separates anime producers with that, people with that specific title and job, from their equivalents in the West?
the big thing is they don't really stick their hand in the creative process at all.
Right.
I mean, they don't, as you can probably tell, there was no producer going, hey, you're making Welcome to the Space Show? That probably shouldn't be 2.5 hours. It's meant for kids.
Yeah. Yeah, really. Well, I mean, maybe I'm wrong about this, but the producers generally wrangle the production committee, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're mostly pencil pushers. I mean, you know, they get the creative staff. That's part of their job. But after that, they you know, they're not people that went to film school. They would rather defer that to people that know what they're doing, supposedly. And sometimes that works out great, and they go off in weird tangents, because I don't think a strong producer would let, say, Ikuhara make the Utena movie, that's for sure.
Right.
But other times you get sodden, self-indulgent, overlong pieces of garbage, and that happens a lot, too.
A couple of people asked about Musashi Gundo. I have not seen this, but there's...
Oh, I saw one episode. That is not good.
Well, the question is, do either of you know anything more about it? Well, it was ironically... That was the big ironic purchase for a while. Like, I think it sold okay because people were buying it ironically, right?
Oh, yeah. It was a bestseller. Volume 1, anyway.
Right, yeah, yeah. And then everyone's like, yeah, I'm not going to buy this whole fucking thing for irony, but yeah.
Right.
I'm curious to see it.
Apparently, they just had no budget, had to farm out the entire thing overseas, and Monkey Punch is apparently pretty unhappy with it for obvious reasons. And they tried to solicit that overseas. No one bought it. Shock of all shocks. And there it sits on a shelf, unloved.
All right. Okay. Dr. Swerve asks, what's the best-looking anime Blu-ray you guys have seen? Also, for Justin, sorry that you can't go to Coachella. Boy, he should not be apologizing.
Yeah, okay, so what makes it so miserable, by the way?
Dude, okay, so you're in a giant, dusty, muddy field with millions, not millions, but thousands and thousands and thousands of people who are drinking in the hot sun, so there's lots of heat exhaustion going on. This is California, so you are going to get a contact high, and the weed smoke is everywhere. And even as someone who partakes from time to time, I don't appreciate that. You are basically dazed and confused, and your favorite band or band you kind of like is playing on a stage that is between you and thousands of drunk people. It is an exhausting, bad way to see live acts. It is for... people who really like festivals. And have you ever been to an outdoor music festival?
No.
Well, they're kind of miserable.
I'm getting that.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I went to see Massive Attack, and it was not a good experience.
As I mentioned on Twitter, there are like 3 bands every day at least that I really want to see and like never come to the West Coast. But yeah, I mean, I $400 a ticket for that.
Yep. And then you get to pay $8 a beer, and you don't, and the thing is, you don't really want to drink because it's, you're in, out in the sun in the middle of the day. You are going to put yourself out. Like, it's a really bad idea. It's just, I just didn't have a fun time. I know plenty of people do. I know a lot of people really like the outdoor festival environment. I thought it was pure fucking misery.
Zach, you know me pretty well. Am I a party person?
No.
Right.
Not really. I don't see you like, you know, with your conch shell necklace, you know, shirtless and barefoot, stomping around in the mud in front of fucking Eminem or whatever. Like, I just don't see you doing that. So if that's
if
not
I
your
ever
scene,
do that, you have my permission to fucking kill me with the cattle prod that they used in that Coen Brothers movie.
The piston gun, yeah.
Yeah. You within your rights entirely. I'll write a waiver.
Yeah, I don't think you would have a good time, but
no, I'm not gonna. Yeah, okay, I dodged a bullet. What was the actual anime related question? Oh yeah, best looking Blu-ray.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm. All the Ghibli stuff looks really nice.
That Kenshin OVA.
Oh yeah, that looks great.
That's the first thing that comes to my mind. Is that
actually Wings of Onyamius looks too good because they didn't clean up any of the cell scuffs.
Oh really?
And those get a little distracting, but it is so sharp and crisp that you can see every one of them.
Yeah, I kind of prefer it when that when things look like that. I would rather they clean it up, but I still want the fidelity. You know, I kind of want to see the paint mistakes.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's just me, but Akira looks great.
It does.
Sounds great too. Yeah, that Kenshin OVA is the first thing that comes to mind. It's like, yep, this is probably the best looking anime Blu-ray.
Everything Bandai Visual Japan puts out after they stop putting that stupid letterboxing around everything looks pretty great. So all the PatLabor movies look great.
Yeah.
Actually, really looking forward to Sentai's PatLabor OAVs. Never thought we would get those, and apparently they didn't get the message that at CPM we couldn't give that shit away.
The Aniplex stuff looks good too. In general, their releases can be relied upon to be good looking.
The thing is, almost all of the DigiPaint shows are made in 720p and blown up to 1080p, so those are never going to look as crisp as like a new transfer of an old 35mm film or a feature that was made today.
Right. Yeah. Okay, man. I think that about wraps it up for this time. So, peace out. Okay, that's our show. Thanks to Justin for stopping on by. The theme song is Bucharest by the band New Division. You can check them out at thenewdivision.net. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us a rating or review. We would really appreciate that. And we will see you all next week!